Three Brothers by Peter Ackroyd. Read by Daniel Wayman. Chapter 1. Cheese and Pickle. In the London borough of Camden, in the middle of the last century, there lived three brothers. They were three young boys with a year's difference of age between each of them. They were united, however, in one extraordinary way. They had been born at the same time, on the same day, of the same month. To be precise, midday, on the 8th of May. The chance was remote and even implausible, yet it was so. The local newspaper recorded the coincidence after the birth of the third son, and the Hanway boys became the object of speculation. Were they in some sense marked out? Was there some invisible communion between them, apart from their natural affinity? The interest soon subsided, of course, in a neighbourhood where the daily struggles of existence were still evident 4 or 5 years after the war. In any case, there were other differences between the boys, differences of temperament, differences of affection, that soon became manifest. These diversities, however, were still mild and pliable. They had not yet become the source of great disagreement or hostile division. The three boys were young enough and near enough in age to enjoy the same pastimes. On the pavement outside their small house in Crystal Street, they chalked the squares of hopscotch. They played marbles in the gutter with fierce concentration. They hardened the seeds of the horse chestnut with pickle juice and brine so that they could compete with conkers. They raced each other on the common at the edge of the council estate in which they lived. They explored the deserted tracts of land beside an old railway line and trod cautiously among the debris of an abandoned bomb shelter. On the common, too, they played the old game Run, Run Away. One of them, with a scarf wound around his eyes as a blindfold, repeated a few well-known words as the others ran as far as they could. When he stopped speaking, they had to remain quite still. He then had to find them, and the first one he touched became it, when the whole game began again. On one particular afternoon, the youngest of them, Sam, was standing, his eyes blindfolded, and he began to shout out the words.
When I was standing on the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away. Here I come, ready or not.
After a minute or two of threshing around, he caught hold of his oldest brother, Harry. But there was no real excitement in the game. They had played it too often.
Listen, Sam said. What do you both want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a pilot.
I want to be a detective.
Do you know what? Sam told them. I don't want to be anything.
The sky was growing darker, and a cold breeze had started up across the common with the promise of light rain.
Come on,
Harry said, pointing to the abandoned bomb shelter.
Let's all go under the ground. I've got some matches. We can start a fire. Mum won't miss us till tea time. Let's start a fire that will go on forever. I dare you.
I double dare you.
So, one by one, in single file, following each other, they descended into the earth. They had a small back garden in which they investigated the lives of earwigs and other insects. At the bottom of this garden, there was an old stone basin, often filled with rainwater, and in this they raised tadpoles caught from the pond on the edge of the common. They put their heads together and peered down into the murky water, their sweet licorice breath mingling with the dank odour of moss and slime. They tried to grow beans and peas in the garden, but the shoots withered and rotted away. It was, in short, a London childhood. They had never seen mountains or waterfalls, of course, but they lived securely in their world of brick and stone. They recognised by instinct the frontiers to their territory. A street further north or further south was not visited. It was not welcoming, but within their own bounds they were entirely at home. They knew every dip in the pavement, every front door, every cat that prowled along the gutter or slumbered on the windowsill. They knew, or at least recognised, most of the people they saw. There were few strangers in the neighbourhood. They lived among familiar faces. Any stranger who happened to walk through the neighbourhood would not have come away with any distinct impression. It was a council estate, built in the 1920s, of two-storey red brick terraces. That was all. One row of houses was interrupted by some small shops.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?